Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. It is with the greatest of excitement that I introduce, I believe for the first time, to our audience, Katie Hopkins, who has flown in from London, England, expressly for the purpose of joining us here at the Conservative Political Action Conference. I'm sure this audience, being as well-schooled as they are, knows all about you, but let me just say a few words. She is an award-winning documentary maker, a columnist for national papers in the UK, a radio talk show host, a best-selling author. What goodness else could I say? You can find all about her at hopkinsworld.com and The Rebel Media, where she is currently holding forth with great effect on a number of things that I'm particularly keen to discuss, because as I'm often given to saying, what we're watching play out in Europe is exactly what the people perpetrating it have in mind for us. So it behooves us to pay attention. And one of the people trying to make sure we do and that we understand what we're seeing is our guest, Katie Hopkins. Thank you so much for joining us. We're so looking forward to having you on a platform with us this afternoon, but most especially having you on this platform, Secure Freedom Radio. Welcome.
Thank you very much indeed. And I really appreciate you guys having me. It's so, I don't know, it's so wonderful being here. It's always wonderful being amongst like-minded people who, and it's not about some kind of political motivation even, it's just about belonging to a cause that seems just and proper, you know, surrounded by people who want the same thing, who want to work hard, who want to put in, not to take out, who essentially want to look after their families, love their children, work hard and do the best for their country. Those are the sorts of people I want to be around. That's what CPAC feels like to me. And I always describe it as kind of getting into a warm bath. Whereas being in the UK and certainly Western Europe is like standing under a cold shower. Like there's an endurance required to exist where I exist.
Indeed.
Here it's like getting in a warm bath. So I'm very grateful that I'm here.
Well, there's a lot of cold water outside of this particular conference, so you don't get too used to the comfort. But on the other hand, it is an important appreciation of what I think brings us together. And there are lots of differences. There are people of all different kinds of stripes in this hall at the moment, though they do have certain values that they share. And I just want you to talk with us a little bit based on not only what you've been chronicling in your various outlets in your own country, Katie Hopkins, but also what's been going on more broadly in Europe, again, that you have been documenting, that really speaks to how endangered those values are, how much at odds we would find ourselves, how cold the shower is, I guess.
Of course, absolutely. You know, I think one of the things that breaks my heart, I'm, I guess, a quite accessible person. I have my email address out there. People email me with all sorts of, not so much their problems, they don't email me about their wall that's fallen down in their house, but they email me when they feel particularly that hope is lost. I get a lot of emails, you know, up to 1,000 a day from people in the UK and Western Europe, I would say, as a whole, particularly Jewish people or cultures that feel under threat, talking about what do they hold on to for hope when all hope seems to be lost and they feel attacked. There are so many places now in the UK. If I think about London, Londonistan, as I call it, there is a sense that that has been completely taken over. It's a separate place. I think the UK is broken down into two places. One is London, and the rest is a place called the rest of the UK. And the rest of the UK is filled with people that are my kind of people, normal people who just want to work hard and who voted Brexit largely and feel like their voice is not heard because London attracts all the media, all the attention, and is spoken for by a handful of elites who don't reflect what the rest of the UK thinks. And I think we have a real parallel here in the America. You know, if you spin the UK on its side, you've got New York and California. So we've got London and, say, Scotland, who have a completely different way of thinking than the majority of the population. Hence, you've got Trump, thank goodness.
Yeah.
I think the other thing that's so upsetting, and people talk to me, do I think, you know, the takeover of the UK, bearing in mind that the Muslim population will overtake the Christian population or the resident population, by 2050, the birth rate of Muslims will outstrip ours. So that is a very short time
frame. And that's
frame.
Without additional immigration, which is still...
Yeah. And today we had figures saying, you know, immigration is falling. That's official immigration figures. Mm. We've got a couple thousand arriving on a van every day. So those immigration figures are nonsense. But I think I also get a lot of emails from people, the elderly in particular, which I find very distressing, who say that they're 60, 70, 75. And whilst they see me and others fighting the good fight, they're glad that they'll be gone before they have to watch their country completely fall. I think that's very upsetting indeed. And I think that there are so many places now, no-go zones, where people like me, I mean, I would go, but people like me would not go. And on a daily basis that we feel pushed out from our country. And if you think about it as a mum, I'm a mum. I've got three children. They are 13, 12 and 9. You know, for a lot of mums and dads, they're doing a school drop and they're dropping their children at a school where 80%, 90% don't come from the UK, where English is a third language. So it goes Eritrean, Somali, and then English. Or it goes some form of Arabic, another Arabic variation, and then English. In some schools, it's 90%, where British has become a fifth language. And so their kids are going to school with that every day. That's every morning when you do that school run. Or if you need to get a doctor's appointment, you know, those mornings where something's gone on overnight, you've had a night of worry, you pick up the phone, you need to ring your doctor. People imagine our nationalised healthcare system of some sort of panacea. You ring the doctor and there's no appointments. There's no slots. There's no way. There's no one you can see. And it doesn't matter if it's an appointment for me. I don't care. If it's an appointment for your child, you feel forced out. Right. And that's very much day-to-day in the UK.
So this is, if I can put it in slightly different terms, this is the combined effect of the left and their socialist paradise and the Sharia supremacists, for want of a better term,
absolutely,
that are transforming your country. And you've documented, I just want to salute you for your courage in going into places like Calais, to watch those vans being filled up so that they can bring the thousands across surreptitiously. Or going into Sweden, into Malmo, in places where, you know, rape is now epidemic.
Absolutely.
White women of Swedish extraction primarily being the victims at the hands of people who aren't. Let's say, be clear.
And one of the things that surprises me, you know, as somebody going out to Calais, I went to live in the jungle camp for 2 days. I went to Sweden to walk the no-go zones and look at the suburbs.
And there's no question that they exist.
There's no question. But in a way, I even went, you know, I do go open-minded. I go looking to see people, meet people, find out what the truth is. But, you know, within 10 minutes of being inside the jungle camp in Calais, which is where the migrants come and they kind of collect before they make their last desperate dash to the UK, within 10 minutes, men were running at me, tacky, 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 tacky. I thought it meant lunch. I thought it was a rush for the lunch queue, such was my naivety. Tacky means truck. And what they meant was the trucks, and I could see them on the horizon behind the fencing, were backed up. And when those trucks back up, that's when they can go for it. They went for it. They swarmed towards those fences. They cut through. The French police came with tear gas firing. The migrants aren't bothered by tear gas. That doesn't stop them. They cut through that fence. My photographer, who I was with, did a great job. But he was taken. His kit was taken. His wallet was taken. His phone taken. And he was given a good hiding. And eventually we were put in a van and thrown out. He was dispatched back to the UK. And I went back for a second day. And the same in Sweden, you know. I arrived there thinking I would look for a story, talk to people. Within an hour of being in Sweden, the roads were fenced off and someone had planted a bomb, a hand grenade, as it turned out, in a waste paper basket outside the police station. And I give these examples not as the nature of the drama of these countries, but more to indicate you only have to walk amongst it for a moment, and you see the chaos that we've created.
Hold the thought. We have to pause for just a second. Katie Hopkins is our guest. She is with the Rebel Media. Her clarity on these issues is so important, and we'll talk more about some of her insights and what's at stake if the United States loses this path that we have been on in favor of the one that her country is now well down, right after this.
to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.